Okay, so who of you know what we're talking about tonight? What are we talking about?
Victor, waar praat ons?
Money. Yes. No. So that's maybe a good point. So just after this meeting, I don't know if Luke said it, but just after this meeting, there will be a meeting for everybody that wants to go to Sri Lanka. So even if you don't have 18 grand, because that's how much it costs, you're welcome to join and trust God with us for that kind of money. So that will be just after the meeting. But yes, we are talking about relationships. Great. So I'm gonna just ask, who of you know what the phrase means, unequally yoked? Just that phrase. Okay? I want you to just turn around, maybe groups of three or four, not people necessarily that you know, and just discuss, what does unequally yoked mean? Okay, I want a good definition for that term, phrase, unequally yoke. Okay, great. Okay, there's so much confusion. Over here, they talked about eggs. Is there anyone else that talked about eggs? Okay, there's more eggs. Okay, so we're not going to discuss that phrase, but I'm going to call up first. Who's going to share first? Okay, but Liani and Armand, just stand up. So this couple, Armand and Liani, they engage and they're running our youth. So if you are a high school, or even we take primary school, preschool, your mother's a preschool teacher. We take all youth. And this week, Friday, they're having a meeting 6 o'clock in this church. So they're going a little deeper than what we do in Sunday services. And then also on Saturdays, they have lots of social activities and great stuff. But they are not only good looking, they are also one of probably the most mature in terms of holiness. And just, Armand's known for his passion, like those of you who just heard him, and Liani is just such a pure-hearted, loving kind of mother to young people. So please join them. I'm going to ask Liani to share his story in 3 minutes with us, and then we're going to take it from there.
Okay, so I've got 3 minutes, so I'm going to keep it short. But basically, Amos asked me to share about my previous relationship before I knew Jesus. And I was matric. I met my ex, and I met him in a bar. So I was a rebellious teenager, and I did everything I wanted to do my way. So I went into my will. So I met him and did everything not according to God's ways. And I got stuck up, that opened the door for the enemy. And I got trapped, and I stayed in that relationship for, I think we were together 8 years, and then we got married. So there was enough time for me to see that it was wrong, but I was not moving with God. So I was in my own ways, thinking that I'm going to change everything and everything's going to get better. And then, then after my divorce, I got like radically saved, got baptized. And after that, I just really, I made peace with, I dealt with a lot of stuff, and I just gave everything to the Lord, and I asked him to just lead me. And I didn't really care about a relationship. So then Armand came on my way. So that was like a long time before we started dating that he came on my way, but I didn't see him in that way. So we were friends. And then God just started working in my heart, and it took me some time to trust him and to trust a man, because I didn't want anything to do with a man. But anyway, so long story short, now we move in God's ways, and it's just so different. There's so much peace, there's security, there's love, there's enough fulfillment from God so that we don't need to get it from each other. And it's really, really cool, and I can encourage you guys to just pray for your future partners, and when you meet them, walk in God's ways, because there's safety and security and protection. Yeah, and there's a reason why there's laws. It's not for us to go to hell if we break them. It's to keep us safe. So if I just kept in the safe zone from the beginning, I wouldn't have gotten so hurt. And it would have saved me a lot of trouble. So yeah, thank you.
Hi guys, good to see all of you. Welcome. Yeah, so actually had a bit of a hard life because of a relationship that I went into, as Omu said, unequally yoked, with someone that proclaimed a lifestyle which I believed would be effective later in our lives, and that she would end up serving the Lord, but it wasn't from the heart. And I went in that relationship. I was actually in a vulnerable place. I went to Cape Town in pursuit of work and a new life and everything, and I was not looking for a relationship there, where I ended up marrying this girl. It was good, but it was good in the flesh, and it was completely out of line concerning God's word, and so disobedient. And but I was pushing this thing, and I was pursuing something because I wanted to feed off this love. Amen. A gospel song. Amazing grace. That's where the grace came in. No, so, yeah, well, I ended up pushing this relationship. A lot of people was just fanatic about us. It looked so good. But something inside of me, I was quite anxious about it. It wasn't in the Lord, but I wanted to believe that I was going to fix this problem, whatever it is, that we are on a journey, that we're going to end up in the good of life. But yeah, unfortunately, it was a light and darkness experience, because I ended up hearing the voice of God, and the Lord was speaking to me concerning my personal life. And at that moment, actually, there was division. Whether it be seen in the physical or not, there was a lot of division, and it started working, because everything that I wanted to do for the Lord was an opposite for her, and apparently I was the one busy changing, but I was changing for the good, and it ended up that I had to choose between Jesus, my Lord, or my wife. That actually ended up being the downward spiral of a bad relationship, and it ended up in divorce. It was a very bad experience. I would wish for nobody to go there. Yeah, just to keep it short, then basically I kept on pursuing the Lord, because he was all that I ever had. And he was the one that was there after the difficult situation that I went through. And I grew in my relationship with God, and God started making life clear to me and what he desired of me. And so with those eyes, I was looking for a life in the Lord. And if I ever get married again, then I would get married to someone that the Lord would give me. And then I was graced by meeting a good friend, which is also a friend of my, or a sister of my brother, sister of my friend. And just God's been gracing our relationship so much, just obeying the word. You know that scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Every time that I commit to obey the Lord in my action towards this woman, I can taste that God is good, because he blesses it. And just the motive with us pursuing each other with God's love, not the physical love, not the way that the world portrays love. We just feed more of God in the process, and therefore we have so much more to invest into each other's life. I mean, to have sex with someone is actually the opposite of love, where a lot of people say, well, I love you, therefore I'm ready to have sex with you. Actually, it's the opposite of love, which is hate. You're actually practicing hate against that person. So it is not love at all. And then when you start to realize this and you protect someone from your own desires, your fleshly needs and so on, you understand that that is a respect, that is a real love. And therefore, when you enter into marriage and a life with God, it is amazing. And you both will hear from heaven. And that's a good foundation in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. So I wanted them to share, because they're still young, and both of them have already been divorced. So God is moving, and now He's turning it all around. He's actually moving in both of their lives. Leonie has an amazing little kid called Malachi. He is adorable. He actually, the other day, at the kids' church, he saw an angel, and he connected what he spoke to the angel. It was some funny thing. But so God is moving in their lives. So I wanted to share with you, get their stories, and for them to share with you, because a lot of time we think, okay, we're just going to carry on, we're going to pursue love, we're going to maybe pursue fleshly love, and then it ends up in where they ended up. Yes, God turned it around, but their stories should actually give us an example of where to start, not where they started, but where they are now. Okay, so there's a lot of grace, and both of them have lots of detail with regards to their stories. Both of them married people that actually didn't want to serve Jesus fully. We never condone divorce, just so that you know, but there's sometimes that God just allows for people to get divorced in some way, and then especially when there's sexual immorality, and that's what happened with both of their previous marriages, and now God's just turning that around. Amen. Great. So, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says the following. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Pursue love. And I'm going to talk to you from the place of a father. So if we can go back to the previous slide. This is my little daughter. She's, how cute is that? Actually, Francois Roots took that photo. She is my daughter, and when I think of giving her advice, dating advice, this is basically what I will tell her. I would tell her that the Bible says that we were created for love. We were created in the image of God, and God's image, or He is love, therefore we were created in the image of love. So when Paul says that the greatest of faith and hope, and faith is quite important, hope is quite important, is love, it's something to go for, this idea of having a relationship with people, or having, in the end, a relationship with a spouse from which there will probably be lots of children. It's a good thing. It's a godly desire to desire a romantic relationship with somebody. So I would go, Eva, you know what? Papa, I'm gonna give you advice. I'm gonna train you up well. I'm gonna share with you what the Word says about love. So one day you will choose the right person to get married to, and you will glorify God through your marriage, because that's what God wants. But we know that the devil doesn't want that. Both of the people that they got married to, God loves them with all His heart. Jesus died on the cross for them. But they never accepted the love of God. They never opened themselves to the forgiveness of God. And we're still praying for them. Some really good stories coming out of that relationship there as well. So God is challenging us to get to this place where we are so in love with Him so that we can love well, so that we one day will love this very special person very well. But the devil hates it. So what will he do? If the devil hates something, what does he do? He steals. He destroys. He corrupts. He perverts. If you think of the way that the world portrays love, what would it be? What would be the word? Sex. So actually the title for the sermon is Love and Sex and Everything in Between. It's probably true that some of you driving here while listening to the radio had a very sexually orientated song if you didn't listen to worship music. Because if you're gonna put the radio on, you're gonna hear some messages about sex. You're gonna hear a message about love that's probably not from God's perspective. It's not probably not a good message. Why? Because the devil hates pure and godly love. Because he knows if he can pervert Thomas's ability to love well, he can pervert his identity. In other words, he can also pervert his purpose. He'd be like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I've been called for. So the devil tries and attacks that area, which is called the area of love. So let's read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 and 19. If you don't have a Bible, you can come grab a Bible. We say it all the time when we're starting this new thing in church. Bring your Bible to church. Don't be scared. Raise your hand. Great. If you're a slow reader, you're probably finished by now. It says, flee from sexual immorality. So Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth. Back in the day, the city of Corinth, it was a very business center for business and travelers coming in into the city. And there was lots of things happening. One of the things that happened in the city of Corinth, it was called something called temple prostitution. In other words, you would go to this temple and you would go in and you have sex and you come out. So now a couple of these people, that's just their culture, like you going to the grocery store, they would go to this temple. So now a couple of these people get saved. So imagine you just, it's part of your culture. Your dad did it, your grandfather did it, your mother does it, whatever. Everybody is involved with this thing. And Paul's saying, hey, if you get saved, when you understand who Jesus is, flee from this thing. Just flee from it. Which is actually very interesting if you look at, because it's only a few times in the Bible says, don't actually, just not stand against it, don't fight it, but actually flee from it. There's a scripture that Armand quote, he said, the church where Jesus speaking to Peter, and he said, not even the gates of Hades will prevail against the church. In other words, the strongest force of hell cannot prevail against the church. And it carries this idea that the church is marching to hell and the gates of Hades cannot stand the force of the holy church. But now Paul is speaking and he's saying, flee from this. Don't march over it. Flee from this. Why? And it carries on. It says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your body are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? So he says, there's not big and small sins, but this one sin, it has actually not only has an effect that a normal sin effect, if there is a normal sin effect, but it actually has the effect where you sin against your own body. Sex is the one sin that actually not only affects a small part of who you are, but it also affects your own body. In other words, who you are, your identity. Why? Because it perverts the idea of love. It perverts the idea of love. And it also, when you're on a sexual relationship with somebody, And it doesn't mean only intercourse. It means any kind of sexual relationship with somebody. There's a bond that happens. Because sex was actually created only for married people. And there, a bond between a husband and a wife is an absolute great thing. And it's an amazing thing. And it should be like that. But now, we experiment before marriage with so many different people. And where we should have kept ourselves pure and holy until marriage, we experiment sexually with so many people. We actually create bonds and soul ties with so many different people that we end up in marriage and we feel like, hey, we're so broken because we've sinned against our own bodies. And God's calling for a pure and undefiled generation to walk into marriage and say, I'm still a virgin. I'm still holy. I'm still undefiled. That is the ideal, and that's still God's standard up until today. Living together, having sex, seeing if you're sexually compatible, that is not God's idea for marriage. That is not God's idea. That's what the world says. So in a way, we are living in similar situations, similar occasion than what the Corinthian church was living in. Maybe we don't see it where people practice temple prostitution. They don't go into a church and we see, hey, there are lots of prostitutes. But we see it on social media. We see it on our phones. We see it on our computers. We see it in the media. We are sexually bombarded with messages about what love is, about what sex is. And then Paul says to all of us, flee from it. Don't march over it. Don't try and fight it. Just flee from it. Why? Because it's so important to be holy and to be pure so that your ability to love is pure and holy. So when we talk about romantic relationships, and that's where we want to get to. So I'm still thinking of this is the message that I will talk, that I will share with my little girl, Eva, is I have to tell her, hey, you were created for love. You were created to love well. You were created to save yourself, to keep yourself pure one day for marriage. Because that's the greatest thing that you can give your husband is just that pure and undefiled holy love in marriage. But I also need to tell her that there's a fight. There's a fight from the devil's side for you, that ability to love well. And it comes in so many perverted ways, but one being all these sexually loaded messages that we get all the time. Great. So let's read Proverbs 6, verse 27, 29. It's in the Message translation. So I'm hitting it real hard from the beginning so we can get to just practical tips on dating. In other words, it's not a bad thing for you to want to be in a relationship, by the way. If you're not whole and if you're not following Jesus, maybe that's a bad thing. But if you are wanting to follow Jesus, it's a good thing. So the Message translation, it won't be the same in your translation. It says, can you build a fire in your lap and not burn your pants? I love it. Can you walk barefoot on hot coals and not get blisters? It's the same when you have sex with your neighbor's wife. Touch her and you'll pay for it. No excuses. The Bible actually talks a lot about sex. Proverbs and obviously Songs of Solomon. And now you're thinking, yeah, but your neighbor, you're not married. Your neighbor doesn't have a wife. You're still in school or whatever. And you're living in the hostel. But if we apply the principle to your life, this is what it's saying. It's saying, if you start to sexually experiment with somebody else, and maybe it's somebody of the same sex even, because that also happens, and God wants to set you free from that, by the way, because that's not biblical. But any kind of sexual experimentation before marriage is wrong. So God's saying, if you start doing it, it's like putting coals in your lap, and you will burn. And then it says, it's the same when you have sex with your neighbor's wife. Touch her and you'll pay for it. No excuses. faithfulness towards your wife or your husband starts now. If you're married, you need to stay faithful. If you're not married, you're already in the process of being faithful or unfaithful to your marriage partner. If you throw yourself around to different guys and different girls, then you are unfaithful towards your marriage partner. Because we're doing marriage prep in this church, and there's a time where we start talking about sex, and then we have this conversation. Okay, so now you, beautiful couple, you're all in love. You need to share with each other what happened in your past sexually. Not all the detail, but just come out. Hey, what did you do? How were you unfaithful or how were you faithful towards your marriage partner? Because that's important. Else that will come out in the marriage. Because at least the person getting the news have the opportunity to walk out. Because you need to be honest before you get married so that you give the person you're getting married to an opportunity to choose. Because God doesn't like divorce. The Bible says He hates divorce. He doesn't want it to end up in divorce. So faithfulness, and write it down, faithfulness towards your husband or your wife starts now. Even if you are single and you don't know the heck who this person will be one day. You don't even have a picture. You don't have a list. There's no photo on your fridge. There's nobody yet. So I want to emphasize, God created you for love. Everything in the Bible, it's Jesus sends His Son because of love. God sends His Son because of love. The great commandment is love. You are in the image of love. You'll have a great, we're supposed to have a great ability to love broken people. So the devil tries to pervert and corrupt that thing. And one of the ways that he does this is with these sexually overloaded messages via music, via film, via our screens. So let's get into practical tips. That's obviously why you guys came. But no, there's a fight. There's a big fight. So Paul also in Corinthians, he says that being a single person is a blessing. Say that. Paul actually, he didn't get married, and he wrote more than half of the New Testament. He didn't get married. So a single person, so I think if you're a single person, you actually have an advantage. There's amazing things that you can do for the Lord. And a lot of times in the church, we communicate and we say, hey, you need to have somebody, you need to have a romantic relationship. No, it's a blessing to be single. So the first tip that I have for you is maximize your singleness. Your biggest goal in life shouldn't be to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or to get married, or to do whatever. That shouldn't be your biggest goal in your life. Our biggest goal in life should always be just to glorify God. And you can do it very well by being single. So that's the first one. The second one is, and we preach this all the time, every time when we talk about datings, become the right one before you try and find the right one. Become the right one before you try and find the right one. And here again, it's like, hey, so now you're doing all these different things. You're playing around with this girl, or you're a girl, and you're playing around with these guys. You're trying to seduce him and her. What are you doing? You're not becoming the right one that Amor will say, hey, here's my daughter. please marry her. There's some of you guys that come to me for counseling. I'm like, you want to be in a relationship? I'm like, I'm not going to give you my daughter. No, there's no chance. Because I have a holy and a very high standard. Probably, maybe even a little higher than Jesus' standard. And that is normal. If you're a dad, you're supposed to have a very high standard. So work on yourself. Do everything in your ability to get yourself to a place where you are whole, where you can hear God's voice, where you are the spiritual leader, where you don't expect her to lead you spiritually. And maybe it's fine. Maybe she reads a little more Bible than you, or maybe she can worship a little better than you. But you still need to be able to hear God's voice and to lead spiritually. The other day I was talking to a lady, she's 50 years and older. She said they don't have friends in their group of friends in George where the husband is leading spiritually. And that is wrong. We should end it right now. So guys, get your act together. Stop playing sports. Stop playing computer games or whatever it might be that's keeping you from getting yourself whole. Because if you're going to get to my house and you say, Amo, I want to date your daughter, I'm going to have this massive list that I need to check off. And one of them is going to be, hey, are you able to hear God's voice and will you be able to lead my little girl in her destiny just by hearing God's voice? All I'm going to ask is, I want character and I want you to lead spiritually. You must be in love with God in such a way that my daughter will feel safe. Okay. I don't say, hey, by the way, I don't say computer games is wrong. I don't say sports are wrong. But I say if that keeps you from hearing God's voice and being a whole person, then you must stop and then you become the right person. So that's tell the person next to you, hey, you are becoming the right person. Okay, great. So the third one, it has to do with why do you want a relationship? Why do you want a relationship? It also, the second point is also tied in with this. If you're not whole, you want a relationship because you are needy. You need love. So now you need a romantic relationship. If that girl's by your side, then suddenly you feel well and you feel better about yourself. Yes, your girlfriend should make you feel better about yourself, but if that is your biggest desire, just to feel better about yourself, you're not a whole person. Only Jesus can anyway give you that kind of fulfillment. So the fourth one, or the third one, is if you can't think of marriage, don't think of romantic relationship. So just a disclaimer here. I'm not saying on the first date you go like, hey, buddy, I'm thinking about marrying you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying in the back of your head, you must think, if I can't marry this person, then I'm not going to go into a relationship with this person. Because you never know. You never know who you're going to marry until you've really been in a relationship for a year or maybe 2 years. You don't know. You don't know. But if you don't think long term, then it's not worthwhile. If you, like when I met my wife when I was 16 years old, and I remember thinking I would like her to be my wife one day. The kind of girl that I'm seeing now, I would like her to be my wife one day. I was just thinking about it. And also because of that, I treated her in a way that I would love for somebody else also to treat my wife one day. And I saw in her character, I saw that she could hear God's voice, I saw that she loved Jesus, and therefore I treated her in a way with the idea of long-term relationship. But some of us, we go into a relationship and all we want is a quick fix. Like one-night stands, it's useless, by the way. Any kind of one-night stand, if you're into that kind of thing, you are just wasting your time and you're wasting your girlfriend's time and you're making nonsense for yourself. Great. Because that's another question that I'm going to ask you if you're coming to date my daughter. How many one-night stands have you had? No, neither. Okay, you get the point. Number four, friendship is the only ship that can take you to the love boat. It's a little corny, I know. Most of my friends got married from friendship. It didn't start with romantic relationships. It started with friendship. So get to a place where your desire is not to have a romantic relationship. Your desire is just to be a good friend for somebody from the other gender. Your desire is just to be a good friend for somebody in your already circle of friends. And from that place, that's the best basis for a romantic relationship, is good friendship. And I can tell you, so many of my friends did this, and they ended up being very happily married. Why? Because the basis was good friendship. Because sometimes with romantic relationships, the thing called hormone kicks in. And that makes you a mormoon. No, I'm joking. And then it's all about kissing and it's all about holding your hands, all about affection, but it's never about building relationship. But when you start with friendship, it's about, hey, I want to get to know you. I want to bless you. I want to see who you are. I want to help you with the help of my other friends to develop you. Great. Then the fifth one, if the one is not a Christian, then no. Say that. No. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Sorry. So there's the term. Unequally yoked, it means, it refers to oxen pulling a wagon, and they had this yoke on their necks, and they would pull together. And the Bible says, if you are pulling with an unbeliever in a romantic relationship, you cannot pull in the same direction because an unbeliever has a complete different set of values than you have. Like I, probably on a weekly basis, I deal with people in marriages where the husband maybe follows Jesus and the wife doesn't, or the wife follows Jesus and the husband doesn't. They were unequally married when they got married, and they're still pulling in different directions. They can't even come to church together. And you don't want to end up with that. So here's a couple of questions that you can ask yourself. Does he or she live like a Christian? Does his mother know he is a Christian? That's very important. Sometimes everybody, especially if you're Afrikaans, then everybody's Christian. But can you see that he is a Christian? Can you see that he's living for Jesus? Can you, when you're spending time together with him, do you feel loved or do you feel that there's something else? There's a lust involved. And then don't try and be the hero. And this is something we see often. Like you get in a relationship, maybe you like this guy, maybe he's well-built, but he doesn't know Jesus. So he comes from a broken family, so now you're going to play Jesus, and you're going to help this person that doesn't know Jesus into the kingdom. How are you going to do it? You're going to try and kiss him into the kingdom. It doesn't work. It's so common. People try that. It doesn't work. if you're going to try and get somebody to follow Jesus through a romantic relationship, you know what's going to happen? They're going to come to church and they're going to maybe come forward for an altar call. 5 weeks down the line, you break up because it just didn't work. And then what's going to happen? That first thing that goes out of the window is his relationship with the church and with Jesus. Don't try and be the hero. Start the friendship. See, hey, this guy is following Jesus. So yes, now through a friendship, a process of friendship, we can actually go into a romantic relationship. Number six, you are probably dating another person's spouse. I don't care what your Instagram feed says. He's your whole life. You will be with him forever. It's just into eternity, into beyond eternity. The whole universe depends on this, on your love for this person. You don't know. You can't make those kind of statements. You don't know what's going to happen, especially if you're still young. If you're in school, you don't know. Like I remember when I was 16 years old, I really loved my wife back then, my girlfriend. I loved her. We spent time together. We were good friends. I saw in her a possible wife, but I didn't know. And somehow I had this thing in my mind, I think it was God, that I'm not going to tell her that I love her because I wanted to keep the word "I love you" for the person that I get married to. I don't know where I got it from, but somehow God put it into my head. So I never, in a year and a half that I pursued her, I think for a year, she batted me for a year, and then we went out for a year. That, by the way, is a good skill, girls, that you need to learn. If you bat somebody and he goes away, then he wasn't worth it. But if he comes back, he's worth it. Maybe if he comes back the third time or the fourth time, he's even more worth it. By the way, it's normal. Girls, you should do it. A normal, godly girl bats. It's 2020 cricket when it comes to the dating game. And then I started dating a girl at university, and we had a relationship. And 6 months into that relationship, I just knew it's not from God. And I never told her also that I love her. Only when I started going out with my now wife, I told her 3 months into our relationship, because I knew that she's my wife. I told her, "I love you." And I can't tell you, I can still remember exactly where it was. It was better than the best kiss, better than the most intimate moment that we shared together in all of those years, was that word from my mouth, because I knew what I meant with those words. I kept it safe for this specific girl, my wife, Cornel, and I said, "I love you. Ek is lief vir jou, Cornel." We did it next to the Eerste Rivier in Stellenbosch. I was so nervous. It was an incredibly nervous moment for me. And in a way, I share it as an example. Like, I think we so, especially, I can tell Luke I love him. Hopefully Luke will tell me he'll say he loves me. But we're so flippant in terms of, "Hey, I love you forever and ever and into eternity." Don't go there. Keep your heart safe. Say, "Okay, we're going to do this friendship thing. Yes, we're gonna hold hands. Maybe I'll invite you to my matric farewell. I still decide on that." But build strong on the most important things. And that is getting to know her, coming to church, following Jesus, going on this adventure together and following Jesus. Not always on your own, but with other friends. And then eventually, you'll get that moment where you can tell her, "Hey, I love you. I really love you." And then maybe it doesn't work out. There will be grace for that also. And sometimes you need to take chances. I understand that. But there's a different standard in the kingdom of God than there is in the world. In the world, it's like going to the bar, get a one-night stand, and that is pure love. No, that's not love. In God, it's like, hey, love is not about what I can get, it's about what I can give. Okay, so you are probably dating another person's spouse. So do what this, do to your girlfriend or to your boyfriend what you want somebody else to do to your wife or to your husband. Think of it. Whatever you do to your wife or to your husband, that's probably going to happen to your one day. To your girlfriend or to your boyfriend, that's probably going to happen to your husband or your wife. And God's faithful. If you treat them well, it will come back to you. But you sigh, so am I. Then 7, your friend and your mentor needs to know. I don't know where we get this thing of you'll share about rugby and you'll share about your accomplishments and you'll share about what you're doing over the weekend, but you don't share what's going on in your heart. Yes, it's great to share with your friends, but it's also very important to get that somebody that you look up to and you tell them, hey, I have feelings for this person. What do you think? Because sometimes your heart goes this way and your mind goes this way and you don't think. Just ask them, hey, so what do you think? You know me very well. What do you think? And I remember having this chat with the guy that mentored me, discipled me at that stage. And he's not very emotional at all. He just asked me, so why do you want to go out with this girl? I'm like, shouldn't you be happy for me? And I'm like, he just, why do you want to go out with this girl? I said, I really like her and I think she is my wife. And then he carried on with the conversation. I'm like, was that the right answer or the wrong answer? And he just said something about it. It's not about right or wrong. I just wanted to see in your eyes what happens when you tell me the answer. Because he knew me. He could see. He wasn't waiting for the right answer because he knew me. He could see it in my eyes that this is what I wanted. And then also, because that just established a relationship. So you'd constantly ask me, hey, Amos, how's it going with the boundaries that you said? So now you're in a relationship with Cornell, and you said that you're not going to friends kiss her. How's it going with that? And the moment we would spend some time together, and maybe we were spending some time alone together, then I would hear my friend or my mentor asking me that question. So how's it going with the friend's kissing boundary that you said, Amo? And it would allow me actually to keep myself pure because I knew I'm going to get those accountability questions. I'm going to get those difficult questions. So now here I can just read your minds. Some of you are asking, so who fair is the fair? Are we not allowed to friends kiss in this church? That's what you're asking. Huh? Is that a lot of you asking that question? So you need to set a boundary that will keep you, your relationship with God intact. And you will know where that is. If you come from a very broken past, then maybe not even kissing at all is a good thing. Because what's the most important thing in life? It's not having a romantic relationship. It's not having even a wife. That's not the most important thing in life. You can go to hell with a wife and with many kids. But what's the most important thing? The most important thing is to have a holy relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God. So everything you do in terms of your relationship, your romantic relationship with your girlfriend should actually complement your relationship with God. So if friends kissing, it's always leading to more than friends kissing, leave it. Then you go like, flee from sexual immorality. And I remember telling Cornell that I'm not gonna kiss her because I just can't control myself around her, and she felt a little rejected. And I just told her, hey, I need to flee from this, because I just came from a background with watching pornography. So I had to flee from that. What's the most important thing? Most important thing for me is to have a godly and a healthy and a intimate relationship with God. And I wanted to protect her. Because that is love. You need to protect what is precious to you. Because I knew she was my wife. One day my children's going to ask me these difficult questions. So, Papa, hoe het dit gegaan met die vryery voor die huwelik? And I can't lie. I'm going to tell them, this is what we did. We stayed with friends kissing. That's the furthest that we went. Never went further than that. And it's amazing. It was amazing walking down, or seeing her walking down the aisle, and then actually enjoying the sex after marriage. It was amazing. I can tell you it's amazing. But it was, in a way, a long and difficult road to get there. And it took a lot of endurance, but it was amazing. And it was holy. And 4 kids later, it's still holy and it's still amazing. You only have 1 kid. Great, so we need to speak more often. And if you're older in this room, speak more often about these things. Because it's always when we advertise, we're doing relationships, we have a full house. And people have so many questions, but there's so few answers. Well, actually, there's a lot of answers, but it's from the world side. Or from Instagram or social media. So this is a side note. So a lot of you sitting here, you have not kept yourself holy. Maybe you have failed. And that's why I asked Armand and Leonie also to share. Because they are probably the most holy couple in this room now. Because they know where they were and they know what they want. So there's grace for you to come out of that place and to actually walk with purity in your next relationship or even in your current relationship. There's a good friend of mine. She's very involved in this church. They love Jesus, and a month before they got married, they had sex for the first time. Just by accident, they didn't keep their boundaries, they had sex. And obviously when you have sex, then that's machtelike vliesie. What's that in English? Anyway, the blood flows. That's how you know that the person that was a virgin is not she is not a virgin anymore. And then they confessed. They came to God. They said they repented. They spoke to their friends. They spoke to their mentors. And on the marriage night, came back again. There were blood flowing again. So what happened? God restored completely the thing that they messed up. They felt they just completely missed it. They messed up completely. God restored that thing so that they, when they got married, they were complete virgins again. And God wants to do that to you. So maybe you're sitting in this room and you've messed up. I'm talking about not friends kissing. You say you can't not have sex. I'm talking about not friends kissing, and you say, but I'm attracted to the same sex. And there's a lot of us in that room also. There's a lot of gender confusion in this world. Hey, Amo, you are setting the standard so high, but I just can't keep myself from watching pornography. Hey, Amo, I'm so perverted. I'm so overstimulated sexually that I've done the most horrific things. I'm not even going to mention it to you because you're going to think bad of me. You know what? I've dealt with so many people just like you, and God has set them free, delivered them, and brought them into purity and into holiness. Because it doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on where you come from. It only depends on what Jesus did on the cross, and that was final, and it was perfect. So I want you to close your eyes. Jesus, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you have created us in a way so that we can love others, that we can love you. Lord, and we ask tonight that you come with your Holy Spirit and you convict us of all impurity, of all unholy behavior. Because you are a gracious Father, God, and you want to restore us to a place where we can love well, where we can love all people. Thank you that you've placed in us a desire for romantic relationships, God, and that is from you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I'll ask that you stir faith in this room, to the point that we know that you can set us free from all things. God, I'm speaking to souls here, to people here that's struggling with pornography, that's struggling with gender confusion, that's struggling with sex addiction. Lord, and you know that you have died for all of us. All of us were going to hell, but you paid the price that we can walk into holiness, into your loving arms, and be set free. So while every eye is closed, if you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've done all the things that I've just spoken about. Maybe you haven't done any of it, but you just don't know Jesus. You know, if you walk out of this door and a car drives you over, you don't know if you're going to go to heaven. And you want to meet with Jesus, the loving God who died on the cross for forgiveness of sin. If that is you, I want you to raise your hand very high. So now I'm going to open it up for God to restore just purity. If you're sitting in this room and you just know that God, He needs to restore you in this area of your sexuality. Maybe somebody has stolen from you. God wants to restore you. Maybe you have messed up. God wants to forgive you. If this is you, and I know it's a bold thing that I'm asking, but I'm asking you to raise your hand very high and say, God, tonight, I'm going to give you my shame. I'm going to give you my sin. I'm going to give you this thing because I want to be set free. If that is you, just raise your hand very high. It's a little off the topic, but I feel the Holy Spirit saying this. There's somebody in this room, you've never felt somebody saying, I believe in you. You've never felt somebody saying, I believe in you. Not your dad, maybe not even from God. And God wants to tell you tonight that He believes in you. He believes in you. That He backs you more than you think. That He's saying, if I'm for you, who can be against you? If that is you, just raise your hand very high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can open your eyes again. Okay, I want the facilitators, if you're a small group facilitator, Francois and Lisa and all of you, to come and stand here in the front and face the crowd. Jacques and Leontie, can you look somewhere for him to come? Leon, can you also come? Thomas, can you also come? Philip and Marina, can you also come? A big thing that's connected to sin that we do, when we sexually sin, is shame. And the thing that breaks shame is when we bring it in the light. When you confess, hey, I have a pornography problem, please pray for me. Hey, this happened to me, somebody molested me, please pray for me. And then God will break the shame. So I want you, those of you who raised your hands, and I know it's very bold and it's a vulnerable place, but sometimes being brave, that's what needed for you to become pure. Okay, so I want you to come forward, choose somebody here, and you just confess to them exactly what's hindering you, exactly what's hindering you from purity. And they're going to pray over you, they're going to bless you, they're going to trust that God restores you completely. If you're maybe not a virgin, we trust that all of us walk out of here as virgins, even those who are married. Why not? God's into the impossible. Okay, there were a lot of you that raised your hands. I want you to please come forward. Let's all stand. And as you stand, just come forward.